Okay, when you think of pandemic prevention, I'm sure things like vaccination, healthcare system readiness, having enough PPE come to mind. Those are all things we have immersed ourselves in these last 18 months. But what if pandemic prevention also means monitoring how and where, let's say, trees get cut down to make room for housing, or ways to safely handle products at exotic animal markets throughout the world? It may seem like small potatoes in the grand scheme of COVID-19, but a team of scientists at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health argue these measures and some others could make the difference between the next pandemic taking hold or not. Those scientists, led by Dr. Aaron Bernstein, founded a task force this spring. It was called the Scientific Task Force for Preventing Pandemics at the Source. And a few months ago, they released research that they say supports the needs for these interventions. And they recently presented their data to the UN. Dr. Bernstein, also the interim director of Harvard's Center for Climate, Health, and Global Environment, joins us now. Dr. Bernstein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Delighted to be here.
Okay, so sort of first principles, your report, the research focuses on stopping what you call virus spillover from wild animals to people. What does virus spillover mean? And of all the public health questions to study during this pandemic, why this one?
Yeah, so good question. Spillover refers to a virus moving from an animal, usually a wild one, into a person. Sometimes those viruses may go through an animal that's livestock, a cow or chicken. And what's key about this is that if you look at all of the pandemics over the last century, with one exception, they all involved viruses spilling over from a wild animal to a person. So this is a key part of pandemic risk.
And was that not the case before the last century?
Well, we know that there have been many diseases that have gotten into humans from livestock, especially as we started moving into cities. But certainly in recent decades, the risk of disease emergence, and particularly diseases we worry about that can, you know, result in pandemics, the focus is on viruses and particularly those that are circulating in wildlife.
So give us some of the others from the last century, some of the big ones, recent memory that have spread from animals.
Yep. So HIV is a big one. There are two other coronaviruses, which didn't quite, by some estimations, reach pandemic scale, but were pretty close. There was SARS and MERS. The influenza pandemics, the most recent of which was 2008, 2009. There have been, you know, going back to the Spanish flu 19, several of those. These are all viruses that moved, at least in part, from wild animals into people.
Okay, so I want to acknowledge it would take like a whole library to hold what I don't know about this subject. And as I hear you talking, I find myself thinking, is there something about viruses that come from animals that spread in some way or to which humans are particularly susceptible that we see them reaching pandemic level? Do you understand my question?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, I think it's not so much that the viruses have changed, there's something unique about viruses. It's that these viruses, you know, we swim in a common germ pool with animals. And so the viruses of humans have their first cousins in other animals. And so what's happened in recent times are two things. One is we're increasing our contact with wild animals by going into forests, by having, you know, people either extract animals for the pet trade or wildlife trade. And then deforestation is a big driver. So we have more contact. And then, of course, we're living in a world where there's a lot more interconnectedness, people living in cities. And so in the past, if someone in a remote part of the world was infected by something spilled over, the odds of them transmitting it were less. So we've pushed on two gas pedals. We've pushed on the exposure to wildlife pedal, and we've pushed on the ability to transmit level.
So what did you tell the UN General Assembly last week that we should do about it? You had three big things.
Yeah, well, the big thing I told them, and I'll use an analogy here, is that we need to stop building auto repair shops for car crashes and start putting in some traffic safety measures. I mean, imagine that you're standing in the middle of an intersection and you see two cars coming at you from both directions, and you're thinking, okay, it would be really good if there was like a stop sign here or a stoplight, but there isn't, and they get into crashes. And this is happening every, you know, 3 to 5 years. And your solution to that would be to, you know, make better body shops, improve the supply chain to those body shops, train people on how to repair the cars. That's what we're doing right now. We are dealing with this pandemic problem, which we can see coming at us as clear as day per the conversation we're just having. Two cars running at us, we can see this problem coming, and yet our solution is let's just build more body shops. What we need to do is put in some traffic measures. We need to stop spillover so that we prevent these pandemics before they start. And if there were any moment where that point couldn't be more clear, it's right now. I mean, we have a vaccine. We have all kinds of knowledge.
And that's the body shop thing, right? That's the body shop.
You got it. Yeah. And so we have a vaccine. We have many vaccines. They're very effective. But you know what? They leave folks behind. 1 in 20 people in Africa is vaccinated right now. In many states in the United States, we're not doing a heck of a lot better. And that means that while these things are critical, I just be clear, we absolutely need vaccines. We need better health systems, particularly in low middle income countries. We need diagnostic tests. But to do that without dealing with the root cause is really doesn't follow the science, which is exactly what the task force report and what says and what we presented to the United Nations.
So I don't want us to run out of time before I get to hear from you what we should do. So talk a little bit about climate and then animal markets.
Sure. So as you alluded to, the main ways we have this opportunity for spillover is when we go into tropical forests, whether that's to chop them down, to harvest animals out of them. That's a risk for spillover. So we need to think about forest conservation as a human health intervention, which it absolutely is. We know that there's spillover when we have livestock next to wildlife. So there have been many diseases that have emerged which haven't reached pandemic status but have caused massive harms regionally, where livestock operations were on the edge of a forest, wild animals spilled their viruses into the livestock and the livestock infect people. So we need to have better, what we call biosecurity around livestock, particularly in the tropics where they're near, wild animals. And then we need better monitoring and management of the wildlife trade. The United States on paper is the largest importer of wild animals in the world. And we barely pay any attention to the potential diseases that may be coming in with them. We can absolutely do better than that.
So you're talking about a global problem with global potential spread. Can we globally coordinate on the solutions you're talking about? Is that possible?
Yeah, and we already are. You know, the big risks here come from, again, we see the risk coming from either large livestock operations or the tropics and forests. And in the latter case, there's some really, I think, compelling examples of where we've been able to provide healthcare in places where people don't have access. And along with that, work to protect the forests that those people live in. It turns out that in many parts of the world, indigenous peoples are the best protectors of their own forests. The only reason those forests get chopped down in some instances is because those people need money to buy healthcare. And if we're able to provide them with healthcare, we can actually decrease deforestation. Now, there's also corporate deforestation. So large scale deforestation, particularly in the Amazon, we need to have consumer pressure because on those purchases, because those forests are being slashed and burned often for richer people in richer countries. And lastly, of course, you know, there's a huge win-win here. So you don't get much benefit beyond COVID-19 for the vaccines that we invest in. We spend billions of dollars on vaccines and drugs for this one disease, and that's critical, but there's no added value. If we prevent deforestation, we address climate change, we protect indigenous people's rights, and of course, we have great benefits to health in other ways. So there's real.
All right, I'm going to have to end us there. That's great. Dr. Aaron Bernstein from Harvard's Center for Climate Health and Global Environment. Thank you so much. That was fascinating.
Great to be here. Thanks again.